our next guest is Louise Paramore, who actually has an exhibition at the NGV at the moment. So welcome, Louise.
Thank you.
So, as we always do, we like to go way back. And where did it all start from? You're a sculptor, but you actually work in very curious and interesting ways. Where did it all start from? Was it a little girl that you realised that this might be my future?
I was lucky. I had a really good art teacher in the last 2 years of high school. I was sort of floundering a bit. I didn't quite know where I'd go. and I had this fantastic teacher, Rosemary Wallace, her name is. And she encouraged me to try and go to art school, which I did in Perth. And I haven't really stopped making art since then, I guess.
Right. So what was it that she saw in you?
Genius.
Of course it was genius. Yeah, have you asked her that question?
I might have, but I can't remember the answer. Sorry.
Right. And does she still, have contact with you now?
I did contact her a couple of times ago. My parents are in Perth, so I go to Perth quite regularly. I have visited her here and there when I've been in Perth, yeah. Right. And I had a survey show in 2014 at Glen Eira City Gallery, and I mentioned her in the catalogue essay, so I took a catalogue to her, yeah.
Brilliant. So you left school and you went off to art school?
Yep.
In Perth?
Yes.
Right. And what experience did you have from there? Like all of a sudden, if you didn't really know what you wanted to do, and all of a sudden here you are at art school.
It was a hoot. Inspiration. It was great fun. Yeah. And also I was just not amazed, but I the whole sort of idea of even being able to be an artist was a new amazing thing to me. So. I thought it was astonishing that I got into art school. Once I did get in, I realised it was a bunch of rat bags anyway.
Well, and I suppose that's the question that I have for you, Louise, is that now I think looking at a little bit of background on yourself, I think we're sort of roughly the same sort of vintage because I think you went to Curtin University.
And Neil's from Perth.
You went to Curtin University.
Yeah, it was
Waite. It was Waite in those days. I remember that. Yeah. And around about the same time in the sort of the mid-80s, it would have been, I think. And yes. The School of Art at that time wasn't a renowned sort of a school that that you thought you wanted to get into, or was it just the fact that it was an art school that you wanted to get into?
It was the best place to go at the time.
In WA?
Yeah, definitely.
And so when you got there, is that what did it turn out to be what you wanted?
I didn't really have any idea of what art school would be. I mean, it was pretty open, and it was quite open. It was pretty freewheeling, but we had some great lecturers, really fantastic lecturers. And in the end, I realised that mostly what art school was for me at that time. I'm a bit out of touch about what happens now in art schools. I don't teach at art school. It was the peers really that was that they were the people you learnt most from. I think.
So your particular style, were you developing it then, or was it totally different what you thought you would do in art school back then?
No, there's quite strong links to my early work. I was making a lot of, I was studying painting when I first started, but then I began to make assemblages, wall assemblages out of found objects. And I'm now making, in the last 10 years, I've been making assemblages out of plastic objects. And colour has always been quite an obsession of mine, I guess. So I play with colour a lot, and that's always been there. So, yeah, my early work is, you can see a link throughout. I've done, a variety of different materials, and I've worked on two-dimensional things in, I guess, materiality and... I really mess around with a lot of different media, and it's not always three-dimensional.
And what attracted you, I suppose, to the different types of media? Because these aren't sort of, what I would call common sort of sculptures you normally see. Well, I wouldn't have thought so. But, you use plastic, you use paper, you use, I suppose, quite what I would have thought quite unusual. You said recovered pieces. Is that just something that you were interested in, you were attracted to? Was it more, did you actually go looking for those sort of types of
No, I sort of stumble into things really and work very intuitively. For instance, I suppose you wonder, you might be most interested in the paper, honeycomb paper work, which
yeah,
is...
which I find fascinating.
Yeah. Well, the show currently on at the NGV is one gallery is with as eight large, monumentally scaled honeycomb paper sculptures, and the other gallery is a selection of plastic assemblage works from the last 10 years. So it's a two-part show. Yeah.
So let's talk about the honeycomb stuff, because sure. it really does fascinate me. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, like it used to be back in the, you know, like, or 30, 40 years ago, you would have a burl or a star that you would fold out for a Christmas.
Sure. Well, they're still around today.
Oh, are they? Yeah. Right. Okay. I didn't realize that was still available.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, like, where did the inspiration come from to continue with that? You know, because it is fascinating. I remember as a little kid, my grandmother had them, and when that she'd bring them out at Christmas time, and she'd let me unfold them, and, you know, like, all of a sudden, this flat piece of cardboard became this beautiful bell or a big bauble.
Yeah, well, I think that's the same for everybody, isn't it? Most people go, oh, those are great things that do that thing. Yeah, so I actually developed this technique quite a long time ago, in 1999, 2000. I did a whole series. So I'm actually revisiting a technique with this current exhibition. The honeycomb paper that I made back in 99, I'd been looking closely at collapsible forms, which of course are generally decorations. So the first lot was sort of like actually blowing up small foil decorations, chandelier forms and that sort of thing. Which led me then to the honeycomb paper, which is a different system altogether. And the honeycomb kind of gave me more ability to design my own shapes, whereas rather than just sort of blow up a decoration.
Yep. So, but how hard is it to actually make the shapes? You know, to me, I feel as if it would be really difficult.
Yeah. Well, it's very labor intensive, and
how do you do it?
The principle is many glue lines are alternating. On many layers of paper.
And is there a machine that does it? Or
my arm.
You do it by, yeah. by hand.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I kind of, I've made a gluing rack, and I've got a sort of system to make it relatively efficient and relatively accurate, but...
Because how big are these pieces in the exhibition?
Well, the biggest one is about 4 metres in height.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, because these are bigger than I've ever done before, they've all got, you know, steel armature and base plates because of the heights.
Yeah.
There was a lot of figuring out how to make these actually work.
So there would be a fair bit of maths involved, wouldn't there?
Yeah, and just a whole lot. It's very hard to describe the nuances because it's too boring to explain, but, you know,
yeah, but I'm fascinated by it. Neil, are you as well? You're
I mean, every...
Like,
every
how hard would it be to make it?
Every time I've made one, I always learn a new thing, like what I shouldn't do next time or why it does do... they're just weird things, especially when you're on a large scale, because they're like very large books, basically, and depending on the...
Yeah, but people aren't gluing their own books together, though, are they?
No.
And also, it sounds boring to you, Louise, yeah. but I like David says, I'm fascinated because, I mean, how do you decide this is going to be so big that I do need to have a steel structure here, or is it just trial and error because it's flopping over, you need to put a steel structure here?
No. I mean, I sort of designed the show late last year. I knew it was happening, but I couldn't sort of get my head to think about it. Anyway, it came to me that the best approach would be to blow up in scale some of my small assemblage works, okay. which made sense, you know, because otherwise I'd be repeating the same kind of ornate shapes, the sort of Baroque forms that were in the original set, which I didn't really want to repeat myself. So it made really good sense to select from the small assemblage works those things that could be translated to honeycomb, because there are obviously limitations with what you can do.
Mm.
You know, the forms are based on a centrality, so you can't. It's very hard to do anything that's asymmetrical.
And you were saying that it's every second one that you glue, is it? Or
no? Well, it, I make I do several lines of glue on a piece of paper, physical, and then I'm using a rack, you know, glue, 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 put the rack away, get a roll of paper, unroll the paper onto the glue. I've got registration marks. Then I put the rack back on an alternating, a centre point between the last glue.
Yep.
And do it again.
Right. So, okay.
I think, David, you might have to go to a workshop.
Yeah, yeah. I can't. It's just too...
Really? Yeah, but it is, but just...
That's intriguing.
So intriguing. You know, like, and when you walked in and I started going on about it, you go, why are you so interested in wanting to know how it works?
Well, no, I mean, I understand that, it's like, it's just, it's hard to explain it without being boring.
Now, do you have a lot of, like failure with it, like before you actually get to a certain stage?
Well, as I said just before, each time I try each one is a lesson in itself. I mean, they don't fail, but I know a better approach every time I do a different thing with it. If you know what I mean.
And you were saying that when you were setting the exhibition up, that you just kept on wanting to, I'll just adjust there, I'll just do this, I'll just do that. And in the end, you just had to walk away.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of, I guess I'm talking more about the other gallery with the plastic assemblage works.
You were talking about that.
Yeah, yeah, the tweaking. Right. I mean, there was quite a lot of tweaking, obviously, in both galleries, but with the big honeycomb works, for instance, I mean, we had to make a decision on the placement well in advance of the bringing the work in because the base plates had to be placed beneath the plinths. And
Well, that's the other thing. Wouldn't it be very delicate that transporting it would be difficult? Of course, it's folded.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of tough old things, you know, in a way, because they're like enormous books. I mean, I've figured out a way to kind of sandwich them between MDFs in such a way that their edges aren't exposed.
Okay.
But
all right. Well, people, you just got to go and see it. Now let's move to the second part of your exhibition, because you're not happy with confusing us with how you do these honeycomb paper sculptures. Well, what's in the other part of the exhibition?
There's five, it's all plastics, found plastic assemblage works, and there's five different scales selected from work in the last 10 years. So there's five groups, and they range from 30 centimetres. There's about 60 Boomtown sculptures, which are from last year, which are sort of potential maquettes for a larger piece. They're the smallest, and then there's a larger piece which is made up of road barriers, and that's about 3.5 metres in height.
Right.
And then the others are sort of in between.
So which was easier to construct, the paper or the plastic?
The plastic, probably.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be.
But it's an entirely different headspace anyway. I mean, it was quite nice to be able to use the plastic assemblage work as basis for the new paperwork, because I trusted them already, so I didn't have to think about it was like drawing on an old friend. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the scale was an experimental kind of part of it and an unknown. Mm-hmm. But
how exciting to have an exhibition at the NGV.
Yes.
World-famous NGV.
Yeah, it was great. It is great. Yeah.
But the other thing also, Louise, you obviously do a lot of pieces in different sizes and scales, because you talk about scale. Mm. Because I noticed that you also have, I think one of your pieces is on the Peninsula Link.
That's right.
Freeway.
Yeah.
And also the polar bear. Was that the one that was in Federation Square for a while?
That's not in the show, actually.
No, that was a previous one.
Yeah.
So you do things with large scale stuff.
I do a mixture of things. The Peninsula Link piece, Panorama Station, is like, that's about the highest point in 17. That's an enormous commission I made in 2012. And actually, the maquette is within this exhibition.
Oh, in this exhibition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just a smaller scale.
Yeah, well, actually...
You drew pieces from it, basically.
Pardon?
You drew pieces from the Peninsula Link part? Or
No. One set of assemblages, they're called Stupa City, and they're kind of architectural models. Okay. There's like a bank and a planetarium and a hotel. The Peninsula Link... Sorry, yeah, Panorama... Hotel Panorama was the original...
So that hotel that we all saw on the on the freeway.
No, not the hotel.
Oh, not the hotel.
not Callum Morton's hotel. No, right. Further along.
This is more towards the Peninsula Link, just up past.
It is actually sitting on the Peninsula Link. It's where East Link and Peninsula.
Oh, okay.
Cross, yeah, right. And it's quite a large, colourful, kind of rocket-like form, yeah. I guess.
I know the one. All right. So this exhibition is called.
Palace of the Republic.
Why?
It refers to... there's a place in Berlin called Palace der... Or there was a 70s GDR building called Palace der Republik, which was sadly demolished, I think, about 8 years ago. And it's opposite the site Lustgarten in Berlin, which I named the first series of Honeycomb Paper works were made in Berlin when I was... in a fellowship residency for a year. And I stumbled across the Lustgarten site and I thought, well, it was the perfect title for that work because it was quite, it was like an ornate garden in a sense and quite Baroque in feel. So that was the title of that series of work. So it was quite nice to link the old work to the new work because the new work is a different sensibility. It's much more colourful and funky in form, I suppose, and more modernist. Right. So, it was a way to link the old work with the new work. And it was just a nice that the Palace de la Republic is opposite Lustgarten. Yep.
So it's on at NGV in Fed Square, of course, because you're an Australian. And it's on from the 17th of November to the 12th of March.
Yeah.
So it's a nice stint.
It is.
And over that summer period where so many people go to the gallery as well. So congratulations on your exhibition. And thanks for popping in today.
Oh, thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
You're on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.